Would you please turn in your Bibles again to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I just want to read 3 verses this morning. Hebrews 4, reading from verse 11 to verse 13. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Father, thank you again this morning for your holy word. And as we turn to it now, Lord, we do turn honestly with fear and trembling, knowing that we handle holy things. And yet, Lord, we realize that it is a great privilege to be able to gather as a body of people and meditate upon Holy Scripture. But Lord, we don't want to just have more head knowledge as a result of our time this morning. But we pray that the Spirit of God will take the truth of God and apply it to our hearts. And as we saw last Sunday, that the Word of God will be like that sharp two-edged sword that pierces to the very depths of the soul. Father, come, speak through your word. May there not be a single person here this morning who does not hear the voice of God minister to them through the word of God. And again, we do ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want this morning to dwell upon this 13th verse of Hebrews chapter 4. Please look at it. It says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, that is God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. If I were to just put a heading right over that text, I would make it a short heading and simply entitle it, No Hiding Place. No Hiding Place. There's a place in the South Island, I call it my South Island, it's a place that I have visited many times over the years because it's not far from where we were in Ashburton and in Timaru. You travel up into the hills, you come to the foothills before you come, of course, to the great Southern Alps. When you get up into that plain, it is extremely flat. You go up into Takapu, there you have the beautiful lake, also travel along that road and you have the beautiful lake of Pukaki. Beautiful part of New Zealand, but it has got this very, very flat plain, and it's called the Mackenzie Basin. Over on the other road is what they call the Mackenzie Pass. It's a pretty rough road. You really need four-wheel drive to travel through there. But we have this Mackenzie Basin. It's flat, part of the foothills, and it's large. It's not very often green. In fact, seldom you will ever see it green. It will be browned off either by the heat or by the frosty winters that they get up there. It is extremely cold in the winter, but in the summer, and I've been there in the summer, it is unbearably hot. The great problem with the Mackenzie Basin is that there is very little in the way of trees, and so there's no shade. If you're out there and you're exposed to it, you will really feel the pain of the sun burning down on you. If you get caught in this large plain, there's really no hiding place from the sun. The rocks and the stones are burning hot in the summer. You certainly could not walk on it in your bare feet. The skies are crystal clear, so the sun burns down like a fire. And really, it's not the place that one would choose to be, either in the middle of the summer or in the middle of the winter, because there is no hiding place from the burning sun. Now, why do I say that this morning by way of introduction? Because as I thought about this 13th verse, my thoughts went to the Mackenzie Basin, realizing there's no hiding from the sun in the summer. And to remind ourselves as we read this verse together that God is saying that there is no hiding place from Him. There is no way that you and I or anyone else can hide from God. We read that there is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We talk about the attributes of God sometimes. Shorter Catechism says this: God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And it is from that God that no one can hide. We often speak of the omnipotence of God, or the omnipresence of God. And we see that God is all-powerful, that He is all-knowing, and that He is all-seeing. So therefore, there is no hiding place for us. There is no way in which we can ever hide from God. So today, I want us to dwell on this text. Verse 12 that we looked at last week taught us about the Word of God. You remember what it says? For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So that 12th verse taught us about the word of God, how powerful it was, and how it's been given to us for our learning. Now verse 13 teaches us about the eye of God, the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I want us first of all this morning to examine the text, and then secondly, we will expose ourselves to the truth of the text. Firstly, we will examine the text. Please read it again. No creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, this is not the only text. Indeed, the Word of God is absolutely filled with this very same truth. The writer of the Proverbs said this in Proverbs 15 and 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. We read in Job these words, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all man's steps. Jeremiah says this, can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Now, for me, as I look at that, I realize that I'm set a task this morning that I cannot fulfill. For me to even pretend to understand this truth is utter foolishness. How can I ever begin to understand what we have just read together? I believe it. I know it to be true. I have no question in my mind about it, but I cannot understand such a God. It's beyond my comprehension. You see, the fact of the matter is, my dear friends, if you and I cannot understand God's creation, what chances is there of understanding the Creator? I love God's creation. I always have. That's what thrilled me when I came to New Zealand. I thought I'd come to the most beautiful place in all the world. As we would walk out into the night sky, and view the millions of stars and the planets and the full moon that's shining like a giant ball in the sky. As we look out at the Milky Way or the Southern Cross, as we look around the world, we can see wherever we go, as we look up into the sky, the wonder of God's handiwork. How I really miss that, living in a city. Never lived in a city before until I came to Auckland. And you realize that you cannot really appreciate this beauty unless you're out there in a dark, clear night and looking up. Makes you feel so small. Makes you feel so insignificant. And if you're a Christian, it makes you want to break into song and sing in the stars, this handiwork I see. Through the day, we have enjoyed the sun so much during the summer. Well, we have endured it sometimes. To realize that it's 149.6 million kilometers away from this earth. And yet, we can feel its heat upon our backs and our shoulders. To walk in a forest, to dive in the sea, or if you're not a diver, get in a class bottom boat and go out. There see the beauty of the sea. Or to float in a cave. I did that only once and I was fascinated by it. To watch the wildlife, the animals, the birds and the creeping things. My dear friends, as we do that, we stand amazed. It makes us stand in awe and amazement and declare, who can ever begin to understand this? And we cry, who could create such a thing? Who created all this? And God's word gives us the answer. God's word says that God created. And Exodus 20 and 11 says, and on the sixth day the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. What should be our response, my dear friends, this morning as we sit here? What should be our response to all of this? Surely our response should be that we fall at the feet of this awesome God. We worship him. We recognize that we don't know and will never begin to understand the wonder of his majesty and his greatness. Isaiah said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is the Lord speaking. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts and your thoughts. And as the Apostle Paul considered the wonder of grace and goodness of God, he said this, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. How we thank God this morning that we don't need to understand him in order to know him and to dwell with him for all eternity. Can I say this again? We don't need to understand him in order to know him. And to, in eternity to come, dwell with him forever and ever. You see, if we had to understand God, then no one could ever be in his presence. He doesn't ask that. And we know it would be foolishness. I can't begin to understand him, but I know him. I love him. And I know he lives in me. You ask me how I know he lives. The songwriter said he lives within my heart. You see, you and I will spend eternity worshiping him in wonder and awe. You remember the camp. Remember Sinclair Ferguson's great sermon on this. In Revelation 4, and Revelation 5. Let me quote just a few of the words of Revelation 5, 11 to 13. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power, and wealth, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven, and in earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, and all that is in them, saying, "To him who sits in the throne and to the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and might forever and forever." Forever and forever. My dear friends, the people of God will join the multitudes of the angelic beings, and for all eternity we will sing praises and we will worship this true and living God, but we will never understand them. My dear friends, I want you to note this morning that this awesome eternal God is the God that we cannot hide from. No creature is hidden from his sight, we are told here in this verse, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So we have seen in the text what it is saying. We have taken a moment or two to consider who this God is that we cannot hide from. This God who is an all-seeing, all-knowing, almighty God. Now what we need to do, surely what we need to do, is to expose ourselves to this text and to this God. You see, if we don't take God's word and apply it to our own lives, if we simply read it like a textbook, in order to gain a whole lot of head knowledge, and I keep repeating this because there is dreadful danger in it, then it will just be a textbook to us. And our minds will simply be filled with certain facts about this God. But that is not the purpose of God's holy word. It's given for our learning, so that we might take and apply the word, that we might expose our hearts to the double-edged sword, and allow God to do his holy work in our lives. Many, many people, a country I come from, especially in the era in which I grew up, multitudes of people in Ulster knew the word of God. I worked with men who were as wild and as wicked, and their language was as foul as one could ever find. But I know some of those men would stand and recite Holy Scripture. So it's not that head knowledge. And that's not my purpose this morning in standing before you, but to bring to you and to my own heart the truth of the Word of God, which we must apply in order to have an effect upon our souls. So let's expose ourselves to this text. If this is true, if the fact is that nobody can hide from God, how does this truth affect us? How will it affect the way that we live and the things that we say? How will it affect our thought pattern? How does it affect my plans for life and my future? How does it affect my relationship with others? And most of all, my relationship with God. Psalm 139 is a heart-searching psalm. I want to read the first 12 verses without comment, first of all. Please, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Psalm 139, please do. Let's read it together. Listen to the psalmist. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, the light about me be night, Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Oh, my dear friends, there's the passage of Scripture that I think we should memorize. There is a passage of Scripture that I think we should remind ourselves of day after day, which will bring to us challenge and rebuke, and it will also gladden our hearts. If this morning I were to tell Joe to switch on the projector and in alphabetical order project everyone's thoughts and deeds and actions over this past 12 months, how many people would remain sitting here? I guarantee there would be an uproar. Say, you just cannot do that. We would say, this is private. I don't want my life to be put up there for all to see. And you would probably plead with me and plead with Joe, please don't do that. Why? Because we realize that there would be some things there that we would be somewhat ashamed of. There are some thoughts there that we wouldn't want others to know about. But my dear friends, let me ask you, do we feel like that in the light of this verse that we have just read together? All things are naked and exposed to the eye of whom we must give an account. I know I couldn't do that. But I also know this morning that God is doing exactly that. He looks into the very innermost recesses of our heart. The psalmist said this, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins are in the light of your presence. The book of Job, we read this, for his eyes are on the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. There is no gloom or deep darkness where evildoers may hide themselves. Now, I can hear some people of the world saying, I really don't care if this God knows all about me, because really, I don't want anything to do with him. Doesn't matter. I know that that should not, I hope not, that this is not the thoughts of those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. But it moves our hearts to understand that we cannot hide from God. You see, it says there is no creature hidden from his sight. Everything is exposed to him. We have no say in this whatsoever. Nothing is covered up. It will not be revealed. Nothing is hidden that will be made known, the Lord Jesus says. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed. or hidden that will not be made known. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus. You see, there is no hiding place from God. That's an awesome thought, a dreadful thought, and as we will see in a moment or two, a blessed thought. In the book of the Revelation, we read that some will try on that day of judgment to hide from God. It says the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath is come, and who can stand?" Oh, my dear friends, they will cry in vain, because there is no hiding place. There is no way that any man in all of history will be able to hide from God in the day of judgment. But we must also see in this text something that should fill our hearts with a sense of great joy and thanksgiving to God. You and I realize that a child does not fear the eye of his father or his mother to be upon him. Well, it's sometimes they may, but whenever they're out there in the playground, and mum or dad or perhaps both of them are sitting on the bench, and they're watching with love and devotion as the child plays in the park. They're watching out for any danger that may be lurking. Why? Out of a heart of love and devotion to that child. The very same thing is true as we come to this text, while we realize that in examining ourselves and sitting this morning and understanding that all our thought pattern and everything and nothing has been hidden from God. And for that reason, we come to him continually and ask for his forgiveness. But, oh, my dear friends, there is this sense of delight in knowing that our God sees us and cares for us and protects us. I love what Jesus says here. In Matthew chapter 10, let me read it, verse 28 to 31. He says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Do not fear those who kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." And then he says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." That's interesting. "Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." The Lord Jesus is teaching here that the sparrows, the most common bird in the world, you find them almost everywhere you go. And he says, not a single one of those little sparrows ever fall and die without God knowing. Not a single one will fall and die without God knowing. But even the hairs of your head, he says, are all numbered. Now that is amazing, but that is true. He knows the amount of hairs on your head. They are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, he says. You are of more value than many sparrows. So the eye of God that is on the sparrow, and he cares for them, and he knows when each one of them die, is the one who has got his eye on us. This week I was saddened to hear of the death of Dr. Billy Graham. That man, when I was young, had a great influence upon my life. I loved his preaching. I loved the clarity of the gospel that he presented. And he used to, in his crusades, have different singers. Famous one is George Beverly Shea, who would sing everywhere he went virtually. But there was another lady who's less known. Her name is Ethel Waters. And she used to sing for him. And one song that she sung is a song that's fairly well known. His eye is on the sparrow. This is how it goes, the first verse. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? Long for the heavenly home. When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. As high as on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, my dear friends, this morning, I want to encourage you by this. I want you to be aware this morning that he knows all about your struggles. He knows all about your trials. He knows all about your pain. We have a high priest, and we will see this as we go on, who has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who has been tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He knows your pain. He knows your joy. He knows what it is to stand by the grave of a loved one and weep. He knows what it is to rejoice as he walks with his disciples. He knows you. He knows me through and through. There's not a single thing that we cannot bring to him, because he knows about us already, and he wants us to bring it to him because he loves us. And he wants to answer our prayer. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. My dear friends, as I come to a close now, I ask, how has this thought impacted you and me today? In that all things are naked and exposed to the eye of our God. Do I hate the thought of such a truth? Does it really disturb me? Oh, it shouldn't if you're a Christian. You may be ashamed of yourself in His presence. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we feel like the psalmist as we consider this truth? For the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." You see, the psalmist was aware of this truth, that his eye was on the sparrow. The psalmist was aware that his eye was upon him and knew his heart, knew his thoughts. And so he speaks to the Father. And he says, "Search me, O God. Please search me, Lord. Know my heart. Lord, try me and know my thoughts. Lord, see if there any grievous way in me. And please lead me in the way everlasting." These are the words of a man who has great confidence in his God. He knows that God loves him. He knows that God cares and protects him. He knows that God sees him, and he wants the Lord to search him so that there may be nothing standing between him and this holy, loving God. Oh, my dear friends, is there something in your life this morning that you're ashamed of and you've tried to hide it from God? None of us know anything about it, but God does. Yet you've tried in your foolishness to hide it from Him. Open your heart. Open yourself to Him today and say, "Lord, search me. Know my heart. Try me, Lord, and know my thoughts." My dear friends, I've tried to comprehend what it will be like to stand before this all-seeing, all-knowing God, with whom I must give an account. I don't want you to miss this in the text. No creature is hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and are exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. We must give an account. Have you tried ever to imagine what that is like? I've tried it. I'll never know until I stand there one day. Try to imagine what it is to stand in the presence of this holy God and give an account of my stewardship to Him. Will I stand somewhat ashamed in that day? You see, that thought would torment me day and night were it not for the cross of Christ. I would realize that there would be no way that I could ever enter the presence of this holy God, but I would be shut out from all for all eternity. But in His great love, He has sent Jesus to die so that I might live. And so I can stand here this morning And whilst I know it will be an awesome thing to stand before that holy God, I simply pray with the psalmist, Lord, search me and try me. I want to walk in fellowship with you. I want to please you. I want nothing to stand between me and you. I want to live a life that brings glory and honor to your name, and I can only do that with your help. And I want to stand before you someday and hear you say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Of course, we know that those who are Christians will not stand there in their own strength or in their own clothing, but in the righteousness purchased for them at Calvary. And they will enter in to be forever with the Lord. What about you this morning? How do you feel about standing before this God we've thought about? Oh yes, right now he sees you and knows you. How do you feel about standing before him one day? I trust that that causes every one of you, and by the grace of God, to flee to Christ, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and also seek day by day to call upon him to help us and to forgive us and to lead us and to cleanse us, to invite him to search us and to try our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we stand before you just now in silence, as it were. Lord, we know what we have just thought about is true. Help us, we pray, to be a people who keep this truth ever before us and to remind ourselves continually that we can never hide from you. Bless your word to all our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.